Good evening and welcome to Blog Talk Radio. This is your host, Evangelist Teresa Scott. How are you? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Yes, we did attempt to do this broadcast on tonight, even though there's a storm raging in the area. But I kind of figured since it's radio, you know, and you really don't have anywhere to go, that we could just go ahead and do the broadcast anyway. However, I'm just going to wait and see if we can get some more people to come on. If we don't get any people to log on, we're just going to go ahead and reschedule for next week. Because most of the people that listen to the broadcast are not even from the Philadelphia area. So we sort of kind of thought it was okay if we just go ahead and do the broadcast anyway. So let's just lift up a word of prayer and ask God to bless us out here on the East Coast as the storm known as Sandy is approaching. They're saying that it's supposed to make landfall at 6 p.m. Eastern time, so we're sitting by waiting to see if, in fact, that's going to happen. This is what we're doing. I'm getting messages right now concerning my family members talking about how their house is shaking because of the wind. So we're going to be watching that as we, you know, try to do the broadcast. If you tune in and you hear, you know, the goings-on about the it's all over the world. You know, just pray for us. Okay, let's just listen to this song for one moment.
Somebody lift your hand as we celebrate the greatness of our God. He's great and he's greatly to be praised. Our God is awesome. He can move mountains. Keep me in the valley. Hide me from the rain. Come on, our God is awesome. He heals me when I'm broken. His strength where I've been weakened. Forever he'll reign. Say, my God is awesome.
My God is awesome.
He can move mountains.
He can move mountains.
Keep me in the valley.
Keep me in the valley.
Hide me from the rain.
Hide me from the rain.
My God is awesome.
My God is awesome.
He heals me when I'm broken.
Heals me when I'm broken.
Strength where I've been weak.
Strength where I've been weak.
Forever he'll reign.
Well,
if you believe it, lift your voice and say, in the valley.
Hide me from the rain.
Our God is truly awesome. Hallelujah, hallelujah, glory to God. Hallelujah. I just want to say welcome tonight. And I'm trying to type and talk, and we all know that I cannot do that successfully. But I want to say glory to God and welcome to the broadcast tonight to Evangelist LaTanya Mays, who is in New York. Lord, hallelujah. And to my sister, friend, girlfriend, bestie, Lisa, who is on the line on tonight. And to my husband, Bishop Gerald Scott, whom I believe is on the line. If he's not on the line, he'll be on there shortly. Glory to God. But we just want to tell God thank you because He's all-powerful, just like that song just got finished saying that our God is awesome. Hallelujah. Even in the midst of this storm right now called Sandy, our God is awesome. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So I just thank him tonight for his protection. I thank him tonight, hallelujah, for his peace that passes understanding, because I know at one point today I got a little concerned about the storm. In fact, forget concerned, I got a little scared looking at the news broadcast, so I finally just shut the TV, shut the station off because it was just too much information. But I just thank God today for what he is doing, because he is God and he is God alone. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So let's just go ahead and pray, and we want to pray for the people that are right in the midst of the storm who are getting the damage, like in New Jersey. They're getting it really, really bad. Part of the boardwalk in New Jersey has been washed away.
Delaware
is a mess, of course. So we want to pray for them that, you know, people's lives will be spared, that they won't, you know, get killed because of this storm, and that they really, really would just, God would protect us all. Amen. And, you know, another thing, I had someone was concerned about this being the end of the world. And I just want to say that if it is the end of the world, is your heart right with God? If it is the end of the world, do you know where you will be going if Jesus will come back, or if your life was required of you this day? Bob, USMC, United States Marine Corps, thank you for joining us tonight. And you're in Maryland. And you said you're supposed to get some of that stuff tonight and tomorrow. We're going to pray for Maryland, New Jersey, Delaware, Pennsylvania, and the surrounding areas who are being affected by this storm. Amen. Because God is not limited to one location. He's omnipresent. And I thank God that he is, because he can be everywhere at one time. Glory to God. Hallelujah. While he's checking on me, he's checking on you too. Amen. Glory to God. So we're just going to pray. And then if my husband chooses, if he's still on the line, then he can pray as well. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just come before you with thanksgiving today, Lord God. Father, we come to you today asking you, Lord God, to first forgive us, please, of our sins and our shortcomings in the name of Jesus. Father, we come to you asking you, Lord God, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, Lord God, in word, thought, and or deed in the name of Jesus, Lord God. And we just thank you and bless your name for the forgiveness of sins, Lord God, in Jesus' name. Father, if there be any, Lord God, in our lives who we are holding aught against, or we know who have aught against us, Lord God, we just forgive them right now, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. No matter what the offense was, when it was, Lord God, or who it was by, Lord God, we just forgive them right now and place them on the altar, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And Father, we just lift up these areas, oh God, the Philadelphia area, New Jersey, New York, Maryland, Delaware, Virginia, Baltimore, Lord God, Baltimore, Maryland. My cousins are down there, Lord God, and my aunt. Lord God, I just pray for the safety, Lord God, of everybody in these states, Lord God,
in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I pray your protection, oh God, in the name of Jesus, oh God, that no life will be lost, oh God, in the name of Jesus. And, Father, I just thank you and praise you for safety. I thank you that the name of the Lord is a strong tower and the righteous runneth into it and is safe. We just thank you and praise you that you are our protection. You are our strong tower. You are our deliverer. You are our keeper, and you are awesome. And we just thank you and praise you for that tonight, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Father, we know you, Lord God. We know that we can count on you, Lord God, in the time of peace and in the time of storm. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Father, we know that it's more than a cliche that you are a bridge over troubled waters. And right now, God, the waters are literally troubled. But, God, we just come before you in the name of Jesus, and we pray, Lord God, for your protection, oh God, in Jesus' name. Lord, for whatever reason that this storm had to come, oh God, we just say thank you for protection. We thank you for deliverance. We thank you for keeping us, Lord God, safe from harm and danger, oh God. Oh, God, we bless your name, Lord God, even though, Lord God, some have already lost their material possessions, oh God, we thank you they have not lost their lives. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We know that material possessions can be replaced, but lives cannot, oh God. So, Father, we just pray for people, oh God, that they will obey, Lord God. Obey, Lord God, the emergency people and evacuate and do what they're told to do, Lord God, so that they can be safe, Father, in the name of Jesus. And, Father, even for those who have chosen not to obey the emergency people, Lord God, I pray that you will keep them safe, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, for whatever reason they chose to stay, I pray for them that you would keep them, oh God, in the name of Jesus. And Father, I just say thank you for it right now, Lord God, and I bless your name, oh God. Hallelujah, for you are worthy of the praise. God, you're worthy of the praise in the midst of praise when there is no storm. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And Father, I just say thank you, and I give you praise in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Oh, Father, and I just bless you, Lord, and I just thank you, I thank you, I thank you. Father, I pray for those that you have chosen tonight to be saved, oh, God, who you have chosen to be saved on this day. Father, if you've chosen them to come by this broadcast and be saved, Lord, we just thank you tonight in the name of Jesus. We pray that they will hear a word tonight, that they will be saved, Lord God, that they will hear a word that will prick them, Lord God, and ask them, what must I do to be saved, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Father, and we just thank you for it right now, Lord. Yeah, even if it's not this broadcast, if it's another Blog Talk Radio broadcast or whatever means you choose, thank you for it now in Jesus' name. And, Father, we just give you praise, glory, and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. And someone's definitely trying to get me on the phone. Let me just play a song for you guys right quick, just a real quick one, and then I'm going to get this call.
Hit me. How y'all doing this evening? How y'all doing this evening? Do y'all want that bounce? Do y'all want that bounce? I say, do y'all want that bounce? That bounce?
For a minute, because we know there is no God like you, but we just got a word from my husband's nurse, and they're having trees coming down in her area, and she called to check to see if we were okay, and thank God we are, and they're okay too. They just got trees coming down by her house where she is right now, so the storm is here, and we just thank God for protection anyway. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah. Lisa, you're on the line. If you want to pray, you can press the 1 and we'll get you in. My sister's in, Shirley, hallelujah, glory to God. I know, right, Bob, you as MC, it's funny that the name of your show is An Anxious and Worried Mind. This is really a good chapter for Blog Talk Radio, and I didn't want to cancel it because I know this is needed. And I just trust God that he is a protector. Had he wanted me to cancel it, he would have said to cancel it, but I didn't get that word. And I even asked my husband. So we're just going to go ahead and, do this broadcast anyway. We're on chapter 12 in Battlefield of the Mind. And in the commemorative edition, we're going to start on page 109.
If you have the softback book, and I thank you, Bob, because Semper Fidelis means always faithful, and I just thank God that he can count on us to do what we've committed to doing for him. But, you know, God has some faithful people in the field. My husband, he's here on the line. My sister, my baby sister, Shirley's on the line. My sister, LaTanya Mays, I mean, they're in the chat room, and we have Bob, USMC. I believe this is Bob's first time joining us, so thank you for joining us, Bob. If you're using the Joyce Meyer soft copy book, the softback book, we're on page 119. However, if you have the hardback book, I would suggest you use that because there's some things in the commemorative edition that are not in the softback book. Amen. If you have your book, please turn to those pages and we'll get started. I'm going to ask my husband if you have your book. Do you have your book, honey? Can you start reading for me? Oh, 109. We're on page 109. If you can start reading for us. This is my husband, Bishop Gerald Scott, and he is the overseer of Refuge of God Church Ministries in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Amen. So we just want to give a shout-out to him. Woo-woo. Woo-woo. Amen. You're not... Okay. Yes.
An Anxious and Worried Mind, chapter 12. The verse that we're going to be speaking from is Psalms 37, verse 8 from the King James Version. Fret not thyself in any wise. Anxiety and worry are both attacks on the mind intended to distract us from serving the Lord. The enemy also uses both of these torments to press our faith down so it cannot rise up and help us live in victory. Some people have such a problem with worry that it might even be said that they are addicted to worrying. If they do not have something of their own to worry about, then they will worry over someone else's situation. I had this problem, so I'm well qualified to describe the condition. Because I was constantly worrying about something, I never enjoyed the peace that Jesus died for me to have. It is absolutely impossible to worry and live in peace at the same time. Peace is not something that can be put on a person. It is a fruit of the Spirit. See Galatians 5:22. And fruit is the result of abiding in Jesus. See John 15:4. Abiding relates to entering the rest of God, spoken of in the fourth chapter of Hebrews, as well as other places in the Word of God. Jesus gave us his peace, St. John 14:27. But he said, we must not allow ourselves to be fearful, intimidated, and unsettled. In other words, peace is present in us, but it must be chosen over what our fleshly minds think. We can choose to be peaceful by choosing to think on things that promote peace rather than things that open a window and a door for worry and anxiety. There are several words in the Bible that refer to worry, depending on what translation is being read. The King James Version does not use the word worry. In addition to fret not, Psalm 37:8, other sample phrases used to warn us against worry are take no thought, Matthew 6:25, be careful for nothing, Philippians 4:6, and casting all your care, 1 Peter 5:7. I generally use the Amplified Bible, which includes several different translation of these and other phrases relating to the subject. In order to simplify the teaching in the rest of this chapter, I will refer to the condition as worry. Worry defined. Webster defines the word worry as follows. One, to feel uneasy or troubled. To cause to feel anxious, distressed, or troubled. Two, a source of nagging concern. I have also heard it defined as to torment oneself with disturbing thoughts. When I saw the part about tormenting oneself with disturbing thoughts, I decided right then and there that I am smarter than that. I believe every Christian is. I think believers have more wisdom than to sit around and torment themselves. Worry certainly never makes anything better, so why not give it up? Another part of this definition from the Random House Unabridged Dictionary also enlightened me. To seize, quote, to seize by the throat with teeth and shake or mangle as one animal does another, or to harass by repeated biting and snapping. Pondering this definition, I made the following correlation. The devil uses worry to do to us precisely what it is described above. When we have had a bout with worry for even a few hours, that is exactly how we feel, as if someone has had us by the throat and shaken us until we are totally worn out and mangled. The repetition of thoughts that come and won't let up are like the repeated biting and snapping described in this definition. Worry is definitely an attack from Satan upon the mind. There are certain things the believer is instructed to do with his mind, and the enemy wants to make sure that they are never done. So the devil attempts to keep the mental arena busy enough with the wrong kinds of thinking so that the mind never gets around to being used for the purpose for which God designed it. We will be discussing the right things to do with the mind in a later chapter. But for now, let's continue our study of worry until we get a full revelation on just how useful it really is. How useless, rather, it really is. Matthew 6:25-34 are excellent scriptures to read when we feel a worry attack coming on. Let's look at each of these verses separately to see what the Lord is saying to us about this vital subject. Is not life greater than things? In Matthew 6:25, Christ is quoted as saying, "Therefore I tell you, stop being perpetually uneasy, anxious, and worried about your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, or about your body, what you should put on. Is not life greater in quality than food, and the body far above more excellent than clothing?" Life is intended to be of such high quality that we enjoy it immensely. In John 10:10, Jesus said, "The thief comes only to steal and to kill and destroy. I come that you may have life and have it more abundantly."
Yes.
Satan attempts to steal that life from us in many ways, one of them being worry. In Matthew 6:25, we are being taught that there is something in life that we are to worry about. Not any aspect of it. There's nothing in life, rather, that we are to worry about. There's nothing in life we are to worry about. Not any aspect of it. The quality of life that God has provided for us is great enough to provide all the things we need. But if we worry about the things, then we lose then as well as the life that he intended us to have. Matthew 6:26 reads, "Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father keeps feeding them.
Yes.
Are you not worth much more than they?" In Matthew 6:32-33, it says, but he says rather, our blessed Savior, "But seek, aim at, strive after, first of all, his kingdom and his righteousness, his way of doing and being right. And then all these things taken together will be given you besides." Well, it is clear that God's children are not to be like the world. The world seeks after things, but we are to seek the Lord. He has promised that if we will do that, he will add to us all these things he knows we need. We must learn to seek God's face and not his hand. My Lord, amen to that.
Yes.
Seek his face, not his hand.
That's right. Oh,
you know, sugar daddy, Santa Claus.
Oh.
Santa Claus in a white robe instead of a red and white suit.
Oh.
Our Heavenly Father delights in giving his children good things, but only if we are not seeking after them. Seek is a strong word, meaning to pursue, crave, and go after with all your might. It is permissible to want things, but we should only seek God because without him, nothing else has any value at all. God knows what we need before we ask. If we will supply, simply make our requests known to him, so says Philippians 4:6, he will bring them to pass in his own good timing. Worry will not help our cause at all. In fact, it will hinder our progress.
Yes, it will.
Take one day at a time, Matthew 6:34. So do not worry or be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will have worries and anxiety of its own. Sufficient for each day is its own trouble. I like to describe worry or anxiety as spending today trying to figure out tomorrow. That's a good insight from Joyce. I want to read that again. I like to describe worry or anxiety as spending today trying to figure out tomorrow. Let's learn to use the time God has given us for what he intended. Life is to be lived here and now. Sadly, very few people know how to live each day to the fullest. But you can be one of them. Jesus said that Satan, the enemy, comes to steal your life, John 10:10. Don't allow him to do it any longer. Don't spend the day worrying about tomorrow. You have enough things going on today. It needs all your attention. God's grace is on you to handle whatever you need for today. But tomorrow's grace will not come until tomorrow comes. So don't waste today. I like that. Don't fret or have anxiety. Philippians 4:6 reads, do not fret or have any anxiety about anything, but in every circumstance and in everything, by prayer and petition, definite request, with thanksgiving, continue to make your wants known to God. This is another good scripture to consider when a worry attack comes. I highly recommend speaking to the word of God out of your mouth. It is a two-edged sword that must be wielded against the enemy. See Hebrews 4:12 and Ephesians 6:17. A sword and a sheath won't do any good during an attack. You got to take the sword out, friends. You got to take the sword out. You can't leave the sword, you know, according to Ephesians, is the word of God. You can't leave it on the dining room table. You can't leave it on the dashboard in your car. You got to take it out. You got to unwrap it. You got to take it out the box. You got to unseal it. And then you got to use it. God has given us his word. Use it. Oh, my Lord. See, that's how that works. Learn scriptures like this one, and when the enemy attacks, counter his attack with the same weapon Jesus used, the word.
Yes.
My Lord, the word of God will win every time. Cast down imaginations is our next topic. 2 Corinthians 10:5 reads, refute arguments and theories and reasonings and every proud and lofty thing that sets itself up against the true knowledge of God. And lead every thought and purpose away captive into the obedience of Christ, the
yes.
Messiah, the Anointed One,
yes.
quote unquote. When the thoughts being offered you do not agree with God's word, the best way to shut the devil up is to speak the word. The word coming forth out of a believer's mouth with faith to back it up is the single most effective weapon that can be used to win the war against worry and anxiety.
Amen.
Next subtopic, cast your cares upon God. 1 Peter 5:6-7 reminds us, therefore humble yourselves, demote, lower yourselves in your own estimation.
In your own estimation.
Demote yourself.
Demote.
You're a captain, become a sergeant. Sergeant become a buck private.
My.
General become a colonel. Admiral become a seaman. Casting the whole of your care.
All of it.
All your anxieties, all of your worries, all of your concerns, once and for all.
Go ahead.
On him.
Yeah.
For he cares for you affectionately and cares about you watchfully.
Amen.
My Lord, he has great affection for us. And he watches us every move, everything we go through. He's right there with us. Amen.
Amen. You said great affection, not a little bit of
affection. No, great affection.
Affection.
Great affection.
And goes right there.
Holly. Amen. And when the enemy tries to give us a problem, we have the privilege of casting it upon God. Isn't that something?
Absolutely.
Here you are, Lord. Satan meant this for my arm, but here you are. You take it. You work through it.
Yeah.
That's what Christ said. Come unto me, all ye here weak and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Come. Put your yoke upon me, and I can bear it. Amen. Amen. The word cast actually means to pitch or throw. You and I can pitch or throw our problems to God, and believe me, he can catch them. He knows what to do with them. Isn't that good news? He can catch it. He won't drop the ball. He can catch it. And he knows what to do with it. This passage lets us know that to humble ourselves is not to worry. A person who worries still thinks that in some way he can solve his own problem. Worry is the mind racing around trying to find a solution to its situation. The proud man is full of himself, while the humble man is full of God. The proud man worries. The humble man waits. Only God can deliver us. And he wants us to know that in every situation, our first response is to lean on him and to enter his rest.
Yeah.
Next topic, leading into it, is this, the rest of God. 2 Chronicles 20:12. Oh, our God, will you not exercise judgment upon them? We have no might to stand against this great company that is coming against us. We do not know what to do. How but our eyes are upon you. We don't know what to do, but our eyes are cast upon you, knowing and trusting that you'll know what to do. Isn't that good news?
Yeah.
I love this verse. The people in it had come to the place of realizing three things for certain. The first is, they had no might against their enemies. You by yourself can't defeat the enemy.
Amen.
Number two, they did not know what to do. Lord, I don't know what to do.
I don't know what to do.
I know I was in a situation. This was just sharing something between my wife and I, and we were in a desperate situation. She was in the hospital. I had no money. And I didn't go through no flowery beds of praying and, oh, Lord Jesus, most high God, ruler of heaven and earth, and Jesus Christ is only Son, our Lord. No, I didn't say all that. All I said was, Lord, help me, because I don't know what to do. Same thing here. Acknowledging who we are and that we don't know what to do allows God to enter in and do it all for you. Amen.
Amen.
Number three. Let's go with 1, 2, and 3 again. They had no might against their enemy. They recognized I have no power against the enemy, not in myself. Number two, they did not know what to do, and they acknowledged that. I don't know what to do. I'm finite. You're infinite. They needed to have their eyes, number three, they needed to have their eyes focused on God, and so they did, didn't they? But our eyes are upon you. It's how 2 Chronicles ends. Our eyes are upon you. We don't know what to do, so we're looking to you to help us through. Amen.
Amen.
In verses 15 and 17 of that same passage, we see what the Lord said to them once they came to this realization and freely acknowledged it to him. Be not afraid or dismayed at this great multitude. This is God's response. For the battle is not yours, but God's. And the King James says, The battle is not yours, but the Lord's. And we know the Lord is God. You should not need to fight in this battle. Take your position. Stand still and see the deliverance of the Lord. Take your position. That, and really, he's saying stand aside. Stand on the sideline. Let me fight your battle for you. Amen. What is our position? It is one of worship and abiding in Jesus and entering the rest of God. That's our position. Continue to praise. Continue to worship. Continue to abide in Christ and enter into the rest of God. It is one of waiting on the Lord continually with our eyes focused upon him.
Eyes on him.
Doing what he directs us to do and otherwise having a reverential fear of moving in the flesh. I'm not going to move. This flesh ain't going to take it over. I'm going to leave it all up to you, Lord. Whatever your will is, I trust in you. Concerning entering God's rest, I would like to say this. There is no such thing as the rest of God without opposition. It's easy to have peace when there's nothing to be upset about. Unbelievers also have peace during easy times. But the rest of God is the gift that keeps believers peaceful during times of trouble. It is a gift from him to his children. Even in the most desperate time, we can still be satisfied in Christ. To illustrate, let us share a story I once heard involving two artists who were asked to paint pictures of peace as they perceived it. One painted a quiet, still lake far back in the mountains. The other painted a raging, rushing waterfall, which had a birch tree leaning out over it with a bird resting in a nest on one of the branches. My. Which one truly depicts peace? The second one does, because there is no such thing without opposition. The first painting represents stagnation. The scene is set forth, may be serene. A person might be motivated to want to go there to recuperate. It may offer a pretty picture, but it does not depict the rest of God. Isn't that something?
Yes, it is.
The first one looks nice. Oh, yeah, the brook and the mountain and the calm quiet of his presence. It's so peaceful. But that little bird in the nest that stays chirping, in spite of the waterfall, in spite of the wind, in spite of the rain that befalls it. Oh, my, that's the true rest of God. Jesus said, peace I leave with you. My own peace I now give and bequeath to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. John 14:27. His peace is a spiritual peace, and his rest is one that operates in the midst of the storm, not in his presence, in its absence. I like that. Jesus did not come to remove all opposition from our lives, but rather to give us a different approach to the storms of life. Didn't say we weren't going to have storms, that we weren't going to have trials, but he taught us how to deal with each and every one of them. We are to take his yoke upon us and learn of him, Matthew 11:29. That means we are to learn his ways, to approach life in the same way he did. Jesus did not worry, and we do not have to worry either. If you're willing to have nothing to worry about before you stop worrying, then I probably should tell you that you will have to wait a long time, because that time may never come. So if you want to stop worrying when there's nothing to worry about, you would have a long wait. There's always going to be something to be concerned about your entire life. I'm not being negative. I'm just being honest. We live in a world filled with turmoil. It is around us, but it does not have to be in us. Matthew 6:34 suggested that we are not to worry about tomorrow because each day will have sufficient trouble of its own. Jesus himself said that, and he certainly was not negative. Being at peace, enjoying the rest of God in the midst of the storm, gives much glory to the Lord because it proves that his way works. Next section, worry, worry, worry. I wasted many years of my life worrying about things I could do nothing about. I would like to have those years back and be able to approach them in a different way. However, once you have spent the time God has given you, it is impossible to get it back and do things another way. My husband, on the other hand, never worried. There was a time when I would get angry at him because he would not worry with me and join me in talking about all the gloomy possibilities. I know I can relate to that. If God did not come through and meet our needs, I would sit in the kitchen, for example, and pour over the bills and checkbook, getting more upset by the moment because the bills were more than the money. Dave would be in the next room playing with the children, watching television, while they jumped up and down on his back and put rollers in his hair. I can remember saying to him, in an unpleasant tone, why don't you come out here and do something instead of playing while I'm trying to figure this mess out? When he responded with, what would you have me to do? I could never think of anything. It just made me angry that he would dare to enjoy himself when we were facing such a desperate financial situation. Dave would calm me down by reminding me that God has always met our needs, that we are doing our part, which was tithing, giving offerings, praying, and trusting, and that the Lord would continue to do his part. I should clarify that Dave was trusting while I was worrying. I would go in the room with him and the children, and a short while later, the thoughts would creep back into my mind. But what are we going to do? How are we going to pay these bills? What if? And then I would see all these disasters on the movie screen in my imagination. Foreclosure of the mortgage, repossession of the car, embarrassment in front of relatives and friends if we had to ask for their financial help, and on and on. Have you ever been in that movie or had those kinds of thoughts run through your mind constantly? Of course you have. Otherwise, you probably would not be reading this book. After entertaining the thoughts the devil was offering me for a while, I would wander back into our kitchen, get out of the bills, the calculator, and the checkbook, and start going over the whole mess again. My Lord. Worry, pause, worry some more. I guess I thought if I looked long enough and hard enough that I would find an answer. But only God had the answer. The more I would go over and over the bills, the more upset I would become. Then we would repeat the same scene. I would yell at Dave and the children for having a good time while I was taking all the responsibility. Actually, what I was experiencing was not responsibility, it was care. Something God has specifically told me to cast on him. My Lord. I look back now and realize that I wanted all these evenings that God gave me in my early married life. The time he gives us is a precious gift, but I gave it to the devil. Your time is your own. Use it wisely. You won't pass this way again. God met all our needs, and he did it in a variety of ways. He never lets us down, not one time. God is faithful.
Yes, he is.
Final topic that we need to remind ourselves in this chapter is this. Don't worry. Trust God. The author of Hebrews chapter 13 in verse 5 records these words. Let your character or moral disposition be free from love of money, including greed, avarice, lust, craving for earthly possessions, and be satisfied with your present circumstances and with what you have. For he, God himself, has said, I will not in any way fail you, nor give you up, nor leave you without support. I will not, I will not, I will not in any degree leave you helpless, nor forsake you, nor let you down. Relax my hold on you? Absolutely not. Woo! Absolutely. Let you go? Absolutely not. Turn my back on you? Absolutely not. Deny you? Absolutely not. This is an excellent scripture to use to encourage yourself when you have concern about whether or not God will come through and meet your needs. In this passage, the Lord is letting us know that if we do not need to have our mind set on money, wondering how we're going to take care of ourselves, because he will take care of these things for us. He has promised never to fail us or forsake us. Good news, isn't it?
Yeah.
Never to fail us nor forsake us. Do your part, but do not try to do God's part.
Huh.
Do your part. Stay in your lane.
Stay in your lane.
your arms are too short to box with God. And let God do his part. He's been doing it for a long time, forever. The load is too heavy to bear. And if you're not careful, you will break under the weight of it. Don't worry. Trust, lean on, rely on, and be confident in the Lord. And do good. So shall you dwell in the land and see surely in his faithfulness. And truly you shall be fed. Psalm 37:3. That's a promise.
Amen.
And that's without my glasses. I was squinting and I was trying. But I kept on going. As Lord said, press through.
Amen.
I'll be your eyes.
Beautiful.
Anyhow.
Thank you for being our reader for tonight.
Thank you. And I have even lights on, Harley.
It was really, really good. I'm glad you made it through. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Got a little stumbling at the end. But
glory to God.
I made it through. I made it through.
It's all right. It's all right.
Wasn't anxious, nor was I worried. I said, kept on pressing anyhow.
Amen. There were some points in this book that I wanted us to go over.
Amen.
And if you can call in, if you'd like to, the number is area code 323-693-3054. Shirley, refresh your thing. I don't know why you can't hear. Evangelist Natanya, you can hear still? Refresh your page, F5. Shirley. And yes, Evangelist Natanya, honey, says that that really blessed her. And it blessed me. I'm glad that I asked you to read it because you read it with authority. But you read it in such a way that we can just take hold to it. I thank God for that.
Amen.
But
God
like
bless
I
you.
Said, there were some things that I'd like to go over.
Amen.
And I have the book of questions here.
Okay.
If you don't want to call in, you can place your questions in the chat room and we will get to them. If you don't want to come in, if there's anything in particular that you want to talk about. In the book where I have the questions, it says, Shirley, can you hear now? It says, the first one says, read Psalm 37, verse 8, Galatians 5:22. Uh-oh. My chat room just crashed. Wow. John 15:4, Matthew 6:25-34, Philippians 4:6, and 1 Peter 5:7. Wow. Let me see if I can. I just told her to refresh hers. Let's see if mine can refresh. That's a bit much for us to read right now. But I'm going to repeat them again, and I want you to go over these during your time, okay? And again, she said, read Psalm 37, verse 8, Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. St. John chapter 15, verse 4. Matthew 6, 25-34. Philippians 4, 6. And 1 Peter 5, 7. Okay, I'm going to see if I can, I don't know, I hope you guys can still hear me in the chat room. What I'm going to do is try to get in the chat room again. But it says it crashed. Okay, everything crashed. Okay, maybe it's because of the storm. I don't know. But, is my chat room still here? I hope they're still there. All right, one more time. Psalm 37, verse 8. Galatians 5:22, John 15, verse 4. Matthew 6, 25-34. Philippians 4, 6. And 1 Peter 5, 7. Okay, you guys got that? One of the other questions is, it's that same question, but it's letter B. Well, letter A. Let's do letter A. It says, what is anxiety and worry? Okay, we're back up in the chat room. Praise God. What are anxiety and worry? That's question A. Question B is, what is peace? And question C is, how do we get the peace of God? Okay, we have a little time, so let's just go ahead and read the scripture. Psalm 37, verse 8. Honey, if you can get Galatians 5:22 and John 15:4. I'm going to read Psalm 37, 8, and that was the one that you read. In. You can get Galatians 5:22 and John 15:4. I already have Psalm 37, 8, and we read that. You read that at the beginning. It says, cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. Okay? For evildoers shall be cut off. I'm just reading 9:2. But those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. Okay? And I like to say that with this, you know, scripture, if we fret too much, it could lead into doing something that is ungodly. You understand what I'm saying? I remember one day when I was at work downtown, and someone came in to put in a job application, and he told me, I need a job, and I need it right now. And I was like, okay, we are taking applications, but we're not, you know, doing any hiring right now. So he's leaving out of the door, he was very, very angry. He was anxious. He was worried because he had been without a job for a long time. So when he was leaving out the door, he said, they're not going to give me a job. I'm just going to have to go out here and do something illegal. Well, he didn't know that I heard him. And I said, well, I hope you don't go out and do anything illegal because you'll never get a job. Well, I didn't know he heard me. So he called back up to the job, I think it was the next day. He said, Miss, thank you for saying that. He said, I didn't know you heard me, but thank you for saying that because that stopped me from doing something illegal. See, because he didn't have a job and he couldn't get a job immediately to pay his bills, he was going to go out there and steal from somebody because he couldn't make his ends meet. All right? We got to trust God, and I know God is telling me this for me because my husband alluded to the fact earlier when Joyce Meyer was saying in her book how she would sit at the table and she would fret over the bills and Dave would be in the living room playing with the kids like he didn't care at all. My husband does the same thing. I could be like, oh, we don't have money for this. Oh, we da-da-da-da-da, whatever, okay? And he'll be sitting there acting like he don't care. To me, I'd be like, what is wrong? Like, don't you even care that X, Y, Z is going on? And he really doesn't because he trusts God. Right. And that's the point that we all need to be, that we trust God blindly, that we just say, okay, God, I've just got to trust you.
And that's kind of the situation that we're in right now, that God, we just got to trust you. All this worrying that she says, like somebody grabbing you and shaking you, you know, like what do you call that dog that locks his jaws on you and you can't get loose? A pit bull. That's like a pit bull trying to shake around a poodle. That's how the enemy does us. He shakes us around like we're rag dolls if we let him, you know. And, you know, my sister Shirley said she used to get crazy over bills and things, and now she doesn't. And I thank God for that. But that's what we have to get to a place in God, because even all the worrying that we do is not going to change anything. Well, not for the positive. It can change things. It'll make you sick. It'll make your hair turn gray quicker. You know, it'll make you mean and evil and nobody want to be around you. You know, and it just takes you to a place that you don't want to be in as far as your relationship with God. Actually, it's like we're just saying, God, I don't trust you when we fret over stuff. God, you know, you took care of that problem last time. That was all well and good, but I don't think you can do it this time. I don't know. Maybe you're not the same like you were the last time. I don't know. And we let our minds wander, okay, and then we become anxious, and then we get worried. Oh, my God, what I'm going to do, what I'm going to do? Look, we're either going to trust God or we're not, okay? Honey, please read Galatians 5:22.
Okay. Let me get the
phone. Oh, you didn't get it?
Yeah, I got it. Mm-hmm. I got it before. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith.
Okay.
Let me continue.
You can.
Meekness, temperance, against such there is no law.
Okay. And temperance is self-control.
Right.
All right.
Long-suffering.
Yes.
Yeah, that allows you not to be anxious. I'm going to hold on. I'm going to hold out. I'm going to be patient. It talks about peace that we talked about in our lesson.
And what is peace?
It is the sense of finding that place of tranquility in spite of what's going on around you, that you're at peace, you're settled, you're not fretting over anything, you're not anxious over anything, because you believe in God.
Okay, so
God will make a way.
Okay, so peace is not the absence of war?
No, it's not.
The peace is not the absence of calamity?
That's not the essence of peace, like we just mentioned a moment ago. You know, you can be peaceful in war. You can have peace in war. Remember the example that was used about the raging storm came and all this type of thing. That shows that you're resting in God. When you're resting, that's that peace that passes all understanding.
Right, right.
See, the world's peace is absence of war, absence of conflict, absence of problems and circumstances that are negative. When we're at absence, then I'm at peace. When those things are not plaguing me, then I'm at peace. But the rest in God is that even when circumstances are impossible, even when the situation is mighty dark and gloomy, even when it seems hopeless and you feel helpless, I'm going to find rest in God, because I know that God is still here.
Amen.
God has not abandoned me.
He will never abandon us.
It's just almost like that word we use when we talk about Makarios, which is the Greek word for blessing. And what that means is not being happy, because that's favorable circumstances, but it means being satisfied with Christ. I'm satisfied with Christ. No matter what comes my way, I'm satisfied with him.
Amen. And can we go back to a foundational scripture that y'all know I love so much? And it's Romans 12. Okay. And we're going to talk about verse 2 just quickly. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Okay. That's something that we have to do, is be transformed by the renewing of our mind.
Amen.
And we have to begin to train our minds to trust God. We have to begin to train. But in order to be able to trust God, we have to go through something, okay? We have to go through situations in order to be able to trust God and be able to learn to trust God. It's not enough for me just to hear, you know, Bishop Scott say, trust God. or fret not yourself in any wise to do evil. It's not enough just to hear me say, you know, hear me listen to Joyce Meyer. I could listen to her on her broadcast on the TV, on the radio, or on the internet or whatever, and read her books all day long. And even read the Word of God, but we got to get to a point in time where we actually put our trust in Him into action.
Amen.
Okay, we can talk a good game, and a lot of us talk very well, but we have to put that talking into action and begin to trust God. I'm going to read Matthew chapter 7, and I remember I said I'm preaching to myself, or I'm teaching myself here. Amen.
Amen.
One of the questions she says is, how do we get the peace of God? So we're going to read Matthew 6:25-34 first. Let's read this. Can I find it? Matthew 6:25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowl of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Are you not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for the raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the evil thereof. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. And, you know, this is something that I guess we need to read this a lot. We really, really read this over and over again. And I'm reading from the Life in the Spirit Bible, the notes in this Bible. It says, and note number in verse 625, it says, take no thought. It says, Jesus does not mean that it is wrong to make provisions for future physical needs. He does forbid anxiety or worry that shows of lack of faith in God's fatherly care and love. Okay? And in the note on verse 630, it says, if God so clothed, the words contain God's promise to all his children in this age of trouble and uncertainty. God has promised to provide for our food, clothing, and necessities. We need not worry. If we seek to let God reign in our lives, we can be sure that he will assume full responsibility for those wholly yielded to him. Okay? He will provide. God is our provider. He will provide. And that was chapter 6, Matthew chapter 6, Shirley, Matthew chapter 6, verses 25-34, okay? And Jesus is saying that the Father, our Heavenly Father, will provide. He's not going to tell us to have faith in him and then don't provide for us, okay? If the lilies of the field are being clothed, he's going to clothe us, okay? If the animals out there are eating every day, he's going to feed us. They don't do anything but look for food, and God provides for them. And while I was working at my location on Market Street, I would sit down for hours and watch the squirrels. I would just watch them play. I would watch them look for food. You're welcome, Shirley. And I would just tell my sister sometimes, I'd be like, girl, you should see these squirrels here. They just, I mean, and they find food. And it would be a lot of squirrels, and they all would find food. And I would just sit down sometimes in just amazement and be like, Lord, look at these squirrels. I'm sitting here working 8 hours a day. I'm working to get money. And look at these squirrels. You're providing for them. They walk around knowing that they're going to get something to eat. They're looking for food, but God, you provide for them. I know I'm much more than a squirrel. I know I'm much more than a pigeon. I know I'm much more than a cat. I know I'm much more than a stray dog. I know if God provide for them, he's going to provide for me. I had to sit there and I looked at it, and I believe that God was showing me that stuff for a reason. It was just not by chance that I was there seeing these things. God was showing me that for a reason, you know. And God is so gracious and merciful that he will show us things to prepare us for what's to come. So we can fall back on that and remember that God cares for us. He loves us. He cares for us. He's not going to let us, you know, die without providing for us. I don't believe that he will. He's going to provide for us. So that's my lesson. I don't know what you guys get out of it, but that's my lesson. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. And it's important that we take the time and read the Word of God, because I like to say that the Word of God is the final authority. It doesn't matter. Okay? We can read books by everybody else, but if they don't have the Word of God and they're not putting the Word of God in it, I steer away from those. We need to have the Word of God, because the Word of God is the authority. Okay? It's the first authority and the final authority. All right? We must always remember that we meditate on the Word of God day and night, okay, because then we'll make our way prosperous, all right? And Evangelist LaTanya says, desperate people will do desperate things. When I was talking about the guy who said about the job, she said, desperate people will do desperate things when they are trusting their flesh. And this is the truth. Desperate people do desperate things when they're trusting their flesh and not trusting God. And she says the squirrels are playing and finding their needs. They sure are. No care in the world. They don't care. They just know that when they come down off that tree, they're going to go on a hunt for food. And you know what God? What else God would do? He would provide people to come out there. They would just come out their house with loaves of bread and throw it out there to them. And the birds would eat it, and the squirrels would eat it. And I would just sit there and look. I'm like, now they just took a whole loaf of bread out their house and brought it down here for the squirrels and for the birds. I'm like, Lord, I thank you. The lady went to the food bank to get some food because she didn't have any money for her food. Do you know that she took the bread, some of the bread that she got from the food bank, and was feeding the animals? I said, Lord, this is how you provide. This is how, and the same way he does it for them, he'll do it for us if that's what we need. He'll send somebody to help us meet our need if we trust him. Amen.
Amen.
Philippians 4:6 says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. So it says, I'm going to read the caption. It says, the one essential cure for worry is prayer. This is out of the Life and the Spirit Bible. The one essential cure for worry is prayer, for the following reasons. Through prayer, we renew our trust in the Lord's faithfulness by casting all our anxieties and problems on him who cares for us. And you can reference that with Matthew 6:25-34, we just read, and 1 Peter 5:7, what we just read. Number two, the peace of God comes to guard our hearts and minds as a result of our communion with Christ Jesus. God strengthens us to do all the things he desires of us. We receive mercy, grace, and help in time of need. We are assured that in all things, God works for our good. Okay? But when we go to God, let us go to God with a thankful heart. Let us go to God already thanking him for the answer. Let us go to God already thanking him, Father, I need you in the name of Jesus to provide for this need. I need you to do whatever it is that you're asking him for. And Father, I thank you that it's already done in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord. And we can say thank you because we trust him. Don't go to him in prayer and just say, I doubt God's going to do it. Because if you're going to do that, don't even pray. Because you just canceled that prayer out. Because you just got up and said, I doubt God's going to do it anyway. Don't do that. Trust God. And when it looks like everything's going crazy, trust God some more. Amen. This says, read John chapter 15. St. John chapter 15, verse 5. Okay? I'm sorry, we didn't do 1 Peter 5, 7. Let's do that right quick. 1 Peter 5, 7. And, guys, I have my window. It's basically almost all the way down. It's just a little crack in the window. And the wind just blew through here and blew some paper out my window. That's funny. So the wind is picking up. So 1 Peter 5, 7. And let's see if I can get these fingers to turn these pages properly. 1 Peter 5, 7 says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Casting all your care upon him, God the Father, that because he cares for you. Verse 6 says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. The caption in my Life in the Spirit Bible says, God cares for the afflictions of every one of his children, a truth emphasized throughout his word. All our fears, anxieties, and concerns must be decisively given to God. We have to decide to give all our cares to him. Okay? My sister said God will make a way out of no way, and he will. But this said we have to decide. We have to decisively. We have to make a decision. We have to choose to trust God. We have to choose to trust him. That's what we have to do. Sometimes, I'm telling you, my husband, sometimes I just look at him. I'm like, dude, you don't have a care, do you? And he doesn't. And I'm like, Lord, I'm scared to say get me to that place because that means I'm going to have to go through something to get to that place. I don't know what he went through to get to that place, but he just trusts God. And I'm getting to that point now where I'm getting to the point where I just have to trust God. I have to push past what I see, push past what I feel, push past what they're saying to me, and believe God. One thing that the evangelist taught us when she came to revival, if God allows it, accept it. Okay? We know that we got to go on warfare and we got to pray about X, Y, Z, but those things that God allows that we cannot change, hey, Lord, I thank you. Father, I thank you for what you're doing. I thank you for what you've already done. Lord, I don't know what you're doing, but I just thank you. Help me to keep my mind stayed on you. Help me to stay focused on you. Help me, Lord God, because this part of the transition is not easy for me, but God, help me to trust you. See, this is where we got to transform our minds, okay? Renew our minds to trust God. And Evangelist Latanya said, push past the flesh. And we have to do that. And let me tell you something about me. I'm not going to sugarcoat what I go through because what I go through is real and what you guys go through is real. And what I'm saying could help somebody else to get through what they're going through. We don't always trust God. Okay? If it wasn't for my husband in a lot of situations, I don't know where we actually would be. Okay? I really don't know where we would be if it wasn't for my husband actually trusting God. Because in some situations, if it really came to trusting God, I don't know what would happen. Now, when it comes to my health, and the other night when my husband, when we got on the radio, and my husband was having some sort of a spasms and cramps in his body, and I didn't know what was going on with him, immediately my thought was, devil, you're a liar. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. No, this not going to happen. Immediately. I'm like, you're not going to attack him like that? No, and we're going on the radio right now. When you choose right now to decide you want to come and act dumb, no. So when it comes to stuff like that, I'm on it. When it comes to myself, I go through a lot of stuff in my body, and by the world standard, you know, I should have met my demise a long time ago, considering what I'm going through in my body. But I talk to God about my body. When I'm going through, you know, in a midnight hour, nobody knows I'm going through it. I'm talking to God. I'm praying to God. And sometimes I can't even utter a word out my mouth, but God hears what I'm saying. He hears my cry to him. He hears me pleading the blood of Jesus, and he steps right in, and he heals me. He changes the situation for me. But then when it comes to other things, I'm still learning to trust God. I'm still learning to push past my flesh. And what I would say to, excuse me, anybody who may be listening right now or listening in the archives, if you're having a problem with your flesh, if you're having a problem with dealing with things and not trusting God, maybe tonight is a night that you can learn to begin to trust God. Like Evangelist Tanya says in the chat room, it is a process. We have to trust God like little kids trust their parents. You know, you can take a baby and throw that baby up in the air, okay, and that baby just knows that you're going to catch them. You know, they just know that you're going to catch them. Until that time, you might drop them, then they don't trust you no more. You know, hopefully that would never happen, but I'm sure it has, okay? But, you know, babies have blind faith in their parents. They just trust you. And that's why Jesus said, suffer the little children and forbid them not to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of heaven. A child is unpolluted, okay? They're not polluted with doubt and unbelief. They're not polluted with, oh, I don't know if God going to do it this time or God going. They're not polluted with that stuff yet. That comes with time as they grow up, when they start getting their own way of thinking, you know, and trusting in their flesh rather than, you know, trusting in God. It comes along the way, but guess what? At some point, we have to decide, God, I'm going to trust you. Just like right now, with a storm raging right here in Philadelphia. And I'm sitting here doing the broadcast like nothing's going on because I trust God. I trust God in that area of my life. Now I got to move on to the next area of my life and trust God in there. Amen. Amen. Again, if you have a question or a comment, you may call 323-693-3054. And Evangelist LaTanya, I believe you would call, but you said that you're getting that message that the phone lines are busy right now. So I know it's because of the storm. But anyway, Jesus is Lord. So let's turn to John 15, the Gospel of John, chapter 15, verse 5. And in the workbook, she says, Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. Her question is, how long can a branch survive if it is broken off the vine? Let me just say it again because I got a little tongue-tied right there. How long can a branch survive if it is broken off the vine? Okay? She says, when we abide in him, in Jesus, in the vine, we enter the protection and rest of God. The life of abiding is a peaceful, restful, and fruitful life. Enter in and enjoy your life while God works on your problems. Okay? John chapter 15, verse 5. I'm going to read that. Jesus said, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. For without me you can do nothing, 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 nothing. Okay? Verse 4 says, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. Okay? All right? I'm just, you know what? Let me just go up and read it from the beginning. Chapter 15, verse 1, it says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. So she says, how long can a branch survive if it is broken off the vine? Not very long. A branch, if you take a branch off of a tree, that branch is going to die. It's not going to live long. Why is the branch going to die if it's taken, if it's broken apart from the vine? Because it's not getting any nutrients. It's not getting nurtured. It's not getting watered. It's not getting fed. So it's disconnected from its power source. It's disconnected from its food source. It's disconnected from the life. It's disconnected from the very thing, glory to God, that supplies life. Okay? That's the answer, unless somebody else has another answer. All right? How long can a branch survive if it's broken off the vine? It cannot. It just can't. It can't. That's like us. We can't survive in the spirit if we're disconnected from the vine. If we're disconnected from Jesus, we cannot survive in the spirit. It's impossible. Whatever you feed is what's going to live. If you feed your flesh, that's what's going to live. If you feed your spirit, the flesh is going to die and the spirit's going to live. Okay? This is a spiritual walk that we're doing. We cannot survive in the spirit disconnected from the vine. Jesus just said, I am the vine. Apart from me, you can do nothing. There's many people out here trying to do things apart from him, apart from Jesus. He said, without me, you can do nothing. Okay? If we are in him, he said he's going to purge us so that we can bring forth much fruit, more fruit, so that we can bring forth more fruit. He wants us to bring forth more fruit, but we have to abide in him. If we are worrying and we are anxious, we are not abiding in him. We cannot say that we're fully abiding in him if we are worried and anxious. Worrying makes you sick. It makes you tired. It can make you depressed. It makes you fearful. It makes you untrustworthy. I mean, not you untrustworthy. Well, you could become untrustworthy, but it makes you untrusting to God and untrusting to people. I mean, we'll say things like, God, you just really don't want me to survive, do you? God, you just really don't want me to be blessed, do you? God, you just really not liking me right about now, huh? I mean, things like that we say out of our mouths, or we think these things. We're like, God, yo, why are you blessing this person and you not blessing me? You know, what? Sometimes we do catch attitudes with God like that, like, what's the problem? Okay, maybe that's not you, but that has been me in my past. In my past, I have done that and I have said that. Like, God, seriously though? That's how you gonna do? Like, wait a minute, girl, you done lost it right there. God did not change. Situations changed, but God didn't change. God has never changed. It's our faith in him, okay, that wavers. James said, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. He's unstable in all his ways. He's like a ship in the sea that's driven and tossed. 1 minute you believe God, the next minute you don't. 1 minute you believe God, the next minute you don't. One minute you trust God, the next minute you don't. This is why we have to renew our minds and be transformed in the renewing of our minds. Okay? It's not enough just to read the word. It's not enough just to be able to quote the word. We have to meditate on the word and believe the word and then act like we believe the word and not cry, oh, I'm not working, Lord. I haven't worked in 2 weeks. I don't know what I'm going to do. That's where I'm at. Lord. Okay, but every day God's been provided. I still have electric. I still have gas. I still have food. You know, we're still here. Thank you, Lord. Okay. Now, husband, did you have anything you wanted to add to that?
No, it's all beautiful what you're saying. It's not an easy thing.
but it's a necessary thing. We have to have peace of mind, else you can be so worried, just like you said a moment ago, but even your own physical health, your mental health, you know, just all our challenge. The more we worry, there's no good thing that happens in worrying. You know, people are in fear and anxiety. I was reading something just today. 40 million Americans suffer with anxiety, and which produces fear. That's what it produces. Worry ultimately produces fear. And God makes it clear, I don't give you a mind of fear. You don't give a mind of fear and anxiety. Those are things of the devil. He wants us to be so caught up, like our lesson told us, so caught up in the worries and cares of life that we forget who cares about us. He does care for us.
Yes.
He does care for us. He's not leaving us alone. But he wants to see where our faith is, where our trust in him is. He wants us to see ourselves for who we really are, not who we claim to be. Oh, I trust in God. I know he cares for me. Do you really trust in God? Do you really know he cares for you? You know, we sing the songs, we say the words, like you said a moment ago, but they're empty words. That's an empty song to you. Now, maybe a wonderful song in principle, maybe beautiful words in fact, but if it's not real for you, it's nothing to you. We have to stop trying to impress God, who knows the truth about us, and begin to be honest with ourselves. If we need to grow in certain areas to deny it and act as though we've arrived, we haven't even begun yet, will only stifle us, frustrate us, bring anxiety to us, and ultimately bring fear into us. That's what anxiety ultimately does. Worry ultimately brings fear.
Yes, it
does. Now we're afraid that something's going to happen. The boogeyman's around the corner. He's in the closet. He's everywhere.
Not the boogeyman.
You know, for example, we were faced with a financial situation. Thanks be to God, he gave me some ideas about how to get us out of it. And along with your ideas as well, we went through it. But that was only for a week. Now we're back at it again. But, you know, God has told me, and you're right, I don't fret over those type of things. I fret over other things. I fret that I'm not doing what God would have me to do. I'm fretting, you know, that things aren't working out in that way. Everybody has things that they fret about or are a little anxious about. But even there, I got to check myself. I said, but Lord, you know, in due season, if I faint not, if I endure, if I continue to press, maybe I can do it. I want to get this book out, but they only tell me the price. I don't have that price. If I would have that book, no. I got to wait. I have to wait until the blessing or until God opens up another door. I have to wait. Oh, I can't, you know, we need it now. Okay, we do. But is my fretting going to make it happen now because I fretted over it? You know, we worry, you know, about about furniture and about the TV and the computers. If we don't have them, will we be okay? Yes. Is it convenient? Is it luxurious? Does it make us feel comfortable? Yes. But in due season, God will bring us through that. And I'm really right. In many ways, I don't fret over a lot of stuff. I don't fret over much. And if I do find myself fretting, I arrest it right away. And ask myself a simple question. Can I do anything about it right now? And if I say no, then I got to say, like we said in our lesson, Lord, I got to leave it up to you. You help me. You do it. I don't know what to do. And if he says, okay, I'm gonna take everything out right now, I got to trust, okay, Lord, you taking it out, then you go take it out. Maybe you're taking it out so we can put something else better in. You can't have all of it in one place. So maybe you're taking this out, something better will come in. Something that we can call our own instead of paying an exorbitant price and keeping somebody else's stuff in this house. and something that costs $50, you're paying $500 because you have to do it on time. Maybe he'll give us something better, you know. I begin to look at it like that. I begin to look at life like that, you know. I refuse, even because I'm human, I do get fretful, but I refuse to let it linger on me.
Well, Philippians 4:6 says, do not fret or have any anxiety about anything, but in every circumstance and in everything, by prayer and petition, definite request, with thanksgiving, continue to make your wants known to God.
Okay.
All right. So that means furniture, car, house, kids, job.
Everything.
Food, clothes, people, whatever the case is, he says don't fret or have any anxiety. But as our relationship with God, the Father, and as we abide in the vine, Jesus, as we begin to do that more, we'll see ourselves fretting less and less.
Oh, yeah.
And that's a fact. It's just a fact. And one of the things in the book on page 114, it says take one day at a time. But in that paragraph right under there, it says, I like to describe worry or anxiety as spending today trying to figure out tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to go back and touch on that because we waste the whole day trying to figure out tomorrow.
Right, and we waste today.
First of all, tomorrow's not promised. We're hoping that tomorrow's going to be. But we don't know that tomorrow is going to be here for us.
Exactly.
We really don't. So we're fretting over stuff. We're wasting a whole day trying to figure out tomorrow. And she said, life is to be lived here and now. What can I do about tomorrow? I can't go into tomorrow and fix it. I'm not a genie. I can't stop today. Go forth into tomorrow and fix tomorrow's problem, then come back and finish living today.
Can't do it. It's impossible.
That can't be done.
Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof.
Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Amen. So there was another point that I wanted to talk about in this book.
That was a wonderful chapter, I must say.
This chapter was excellent. I'm so glad we didn't cancel it tonight because this chapter is excellent, and we really need to revisit it.
Yes.
You know, not just read it on tonight and just be, okay, bye. No, we need to revisit this because there's a lot of things going on in this world right now. Even as we speak, we know we're dealing with Sandy.
Right.
And there's just a lot of things going on, but I still believe this to this day, that God really anointed this woman to write this book. Because it makes you think. It makes you think. And she uses so much of the word of God in it.
Oh, yeah, the whole book is that.
I subscribe to her books because it's not, I don't care about what you know.
What Joyce herself says.
But it's the word of God.
Because Joyce's opinion is no better than your opinion.
Yeah.
As far as her opinion is concerned, you know.
Exactly, because everybody has an opinion.
Of course, and nobody's opinion better or worse than anybody else's.
Amen.
It's your opinion.
Your opinion.
I mean, whatever. You know, I may not agree with it, but that's still your opinion. You have a right to your opinion.
The word of God stands no matter what your opinion is.
Exactly.
No matter what my opinion is. The word of God overrides my opinion, your opinion, anybody's opinion. I don't care what your name is or how many letters you have after your name. Amen. Page 116, she says, when the enemy tries to give us a problem, we have the privilege of casting it upon God. The word cast actually means to pitch or throw.
Mm-hmm.
You and I can pitch or throw our problems to God, and believe me, he can catch them. He knows what to do with them.
Amen.
I thought that was a very interesting point. When he read that, I could just hear that resounding in my ear very loudly. When the enemy tries to give us a problem, we have the privilege. We have the privilege. We have a part. We have this privilege that the world doesn't have. We can cast our cares on him because he cares for us. He is our heavenly Father.
And when I heard that evangelist, the first thing you know, we're in the World Series and we're in the football season where catches are made every game. And unlike baseball where a fielder can have an error, which means he drops the ball, or a football player in football can fumble the ball, God won't miss the catch, nor will he fumble the catch.
Amen. And I'm glad you said that. Because even with baseball, if you look, and I really don't like baseball, but lately I've been looking at sports for whatever reason. Maybe God's trying to teach me a lesson. I don't know. But even with baseball, when the pitchers have the ball and they get ready to throw it, you know, sometimes they throw curveballs. Sometimes they throw low balls. You know, sometimes they throw whatever. And they have these, yeah, fastballs or slow balls. And they have these signals that they'll give to the catcher.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is what I'm going to throw.
Right.
Or whatever. We can throw God any kind of ball. And he can catch it. It doesn't matter.
Amen.
Slow ball, fastball, side ball, whatever.
Blue ball.
You know, just and he'll catch it. Just cast that thing on him. And sometimes we might be wary from crying. Sometimes we might be upset because of the situation. And maybe we're not, you know, just throwing it quite right. But God, look, here, I just cast this care on you right now in the name of Jesus. I can't carry this. This is too much for me to bear. I can't do this, God. Here, I'm casting this on you. And God, because you said in your word for me to cast my cares on you because you care for me, that's what I'm doing.
And you know, evangelist, I'm going to say this. And it's a great privilege to me.
It's a privilege.
To carry this thing. I don't have to carry it at all, let alone by myself. I don't have to even carry it.
Hallelujah.
Give it to me.
Hallelujah.
Give it to me, and I'll give you the lighter yoke.
Cast your cares.
And I'll give you the lighter one.
He's given us an out.
I'll give you my yoke. I'll take your burden.
Yes.
My goodness. I mean, you know, I mean, how much more can you ask of anybody? Or expect of anybody?
We have to keep ourselves.
And tell you that.
But we have to keep ourselves acquainted with God. We have to keep these scriptures in the forefront of our minds. We have to meditate on this stuff.
And we got to remember. And that's what God always says, meditate and remember.
Yes.
Remember this. Even with Christ in the Last Supper, remember what I'm doing. Remember my blood. Remember my body. Remember what I'm doing for you today. In a few hours, I'll be dead. My body will be broken. The blood will be seeping from my pores. Remember that. We forget how much God has done for us already.
That song that you sing, what a privilege
it is
to carry everything
we often
to God in prayer. What a privilege it is to carry everything. Then it said one part, and it says, oh, what peace.
We often forfeit.
And then it says what?
Oh, what needless pain
we bear. Why?
All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer.
I mean, this is why the old hymns, they made sense. You know, the bebop and the stuff that we do now, you know, okay, it's good. But, look, it made sense. We go through the needless stuff because we don't cast our cares on him. We don't trust him enough.
Christ once said to a man, he said, they won't come to me that they might have life. And that's a sad commentary. He says, I'm going to carry it for you. I'll bear it for you. I'll share it with you. I love you enough to give my very life for you. And we act like, you know, we still got to struggle. And we're still filled with anxiety. And we're still filled with frustration. And we're still filled with fear and apprehension and depression and all those things that are negative. And he says, you don't have to be.
Yes, and there's a song even that just came into my mind. It's an old song, and I think the Hawkins Singers may sing it. And the part of the song that if there's a need in your life, I will take it if you only give it to me. It's called Give It to Me. That's the name of the song. Give it to me. I'll bear it. Give it to me. I'll share it. He says, if there's a need in your life, I will take it.
I remember that song.
If you only give it to me. I'm going to see if I can find that and play that and just put it in the studio. But that, if you think about the word, if there's a need in your life,
there's a need.
I'll take it. If you only give it to me. Give it to me.
Wow.
If I could sing, I'd sing it for y'all. Yeah, lucky I can't sing. But if there's a need in your life, I'll take it. Do you have a need tonight that you want to? Oh, James Cleveland. Thank you, Evangelist LaTanya. James Cleveland. I'm going to look for that tonight.
You know, and we need to think. Maybe we need to go back to the songs. Songs. I tell you, my grandmother and other women of old. You know, I'm 60 something. You know, my grandmother would be over 100 now. But I remember they would use songs. They would sing songs when they would be depressed. They'd sing songs just to encourage them. Remember, it had to be depression and everything, just to encourage. I remember her singing songs in the kitchen, and while she's kneeling down to pray, and she's singing songs first and all that. Those songs really will get you through. We need to start singing more.
Here it is.
Oh, good.
Y'all can hear it. See if y'all can hear this. Amen. That's a song. I used to
listen to James Cleveland all the time when I was younger, and I used to just love his singing. But the words to this song, if there's a need in your life, I will take it if you only give it to me. And, you know, I just really thank God for this broadcast on tonight. If it didn't help anybody but me, and that might sound selfish, I just thank God for it because I needed this
wonderful program
tonight. Amen.
Wonderful program.
And thank you guys for joining in and tuning in. Bob,
welcome.
USMC, my husband Bishop Scott, Evangelist LaTanya Mays, my sister Shirley Moore, and my bestie on the line, Lisa. Thank you so much,
Lisa,
for joining us on tonight. Glory to God. So with all that being said, hallelujah, God bless you all on tonight. Continue to pray. Continue to just trust God.
I want you to get that Take Me to the King. I want you to get that one one day.
Oh, I have Take Me to the King.
You want to play that for me tonight?
Let me see if I can find it.
Thank you.
Remember, tomorrow is not promised.
Oh, so just King right now.
So just make sure that you trust God and let tomorrow take care of itself. We're going to close with this song. So good night, everybody. We love you. God bless you. And if the Lord says the same, we'll be back on Wednesday, 5 o'clock, which is Halloween, and we want to talk about
Halloween.
Halloween. Amen.
Take me to the King. I don't have much to bring. My heart is torn in pieces. It's my offering. Take me to the King.
Truth is, I'm tired. Options are few. I'm trying to pray, but where are you? I'm all churched out, hurt and abused. I can't pray. What's left to do?
Come on.
Truth is, I'm weak. No strength to fly, no tears to cry. Even if I try, but still my soul refuses to die. Mm-hmm. One touch will change my life. Take me to the King. I don't have much to bring. My heart's torn in pieces. It's my offering. Lay me at the throne. Leave me there alone to gaze upon your glory and sing to you. Take me to the King.
Take me to the king.